Hey, gang, we're just a little over 2 weeks out from our big return to Atlanta, Georgia. That's right, the first show in over 7 years. We are returning April 25th. We're going to be at the Atlanta City Winery talking gamer. I haven't seen it yet. My colleagues informed me it's very dumb. It's going to make excellent episode fodder. We are going to be doing that April 25th, Atlanta, Georgia, City Winery. Tickets are on sale now. And speaking of tickets on sale now, folks, in May, we're doing a little Texas two-step. That's right. On May 14th, we are making our Space City debut, Houston, Texas. We want to see you at the Houston Improv. We're talking RoboCop 2. That's May the 14th. And then the very next night, we're going to be in Austin, Texas, making our return to Austin. The first We Hate Movies show in 6 years. In Austin, Texas, it's happening May 15th at Cap City Comedy Club. We're doing an official We Love Movies episode on From Dusk Till Dawn, the Robert Rodriguez classic that's got great stuff like George Clooney's outdated Caesar haircut, Quentin Tarantino going to Toe Town like nobody's business, a whole lot of Danny Trejo, Harvey Keitel wearing dumb glasses, and so much more. I love the movie. We all love the movie. It's going to be a great We Love Movies night in Austin. So once again, folks, 425 Atlanta, Georgia, 514 Houston, Texas, 515 Austin, Texas. All three shows coming with VIP meet and greets, all that good stuff. We love meeting y'all on the road, shaking hands, taking pictures, signing stuff, all that stuff. That is indeed happening at all three shows. Ticket information, whmpodcast.com. Click on that tour page. You will see the links to all three shows, all three places to buy tickets. It's going to be a really fun run of shows, and we hope to see y'all out there. We want to see y'all out there. 425, 514, 515, the We Hate Movies Spring 2024 tour. What do you think about that, Ghostbusters Frozen Empire star Ernie Hudson?
It's pretty extraordinary.
That's right. Now, on with the show. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to On Screen Live. My name is Andrew Dupin, and this is the show for Monday, April the 8th, 2024. Hope you had a good weekend filled with devil-possessed nuns or whatever the hell was going on with that movie. Maybe you were catching up on King Kong and Godzilla doing their thing. And hey, if you're excited for it, I'm very thrilled. Happy Eclipse Day to all you eclipse heads out here. Going to bring in some friends of mine who enjoy staring directly into the sun at all times. First up, Steven Sadak.
Yeah, I guess I'm going to try and get out there and look at that eclipse, right? I'm not going to, I'm in my house. I will leave my house, I think, at the time of the eclipse and look at it, kind of do one of these.
Yeah. Yep.
One of those.
You know, ready for the sky to get dark, you know, sort of like the Catholics always tried to scare you about Good Friday. Did you guys have that when you were a kid, Steve? Like, and on Good Friday, at the time to commemorate when Jesus died on the cross, the sky turns dark. Oh, really? You didn't have that? Oh,
was it a campfire tale? That's amazing.
Dude, we had sky. It was like, you know, around 3 o'clock when Jesus died, the sky turns dark. And like any Easter year where it was like cloudy that day, it was like, see? I don't know what that was. Some special fucking Catholic shit for me. And also, hey man, check this out, our little bookworm, he's expanding. Please welcome Chris Cabin.
No, Arturo, I'm telling you, I spoke to the guy in Bridgeport, and he said quackweed. I have the worst case of quackweed he's seen in 2 decades. He's been working for 3. Okay, you understand that?
Crackweed? What is happening?
I'm trying to talk to my landscape guy. Will you please stop for a minute here? he hung up. God damn it.
He's an heirloom gardener, you understand.
I'm trying, all right? I'm attempting to be, you know, better about, you know, land usage and such. Get some fresh gardening going. But of course, well, he hung up, but I should be doing this, right?
Hung up, yeah.
Son of a bitch. Never mind. Hi, everybody. Steve, you're not supposed to look at the eclipse. Don't look at the eclipse. Don't
what do I
that.
Do with these?
Yeah, it's Steven. Like, I don't know how good that is. Please go to like a YouTube channel or something.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. Maybe I'll make like a little box that I put my head in.
Yeah, I was gonna say, don't they make them like pinhole boxes?
Yeah, sure. Like, do you remember how to do that?
Oh no.
Oh, okay. Well, then, yeah.
See, well, we got the internet right here, baby. Man.
Just don't go blinding out and just be like, duh, don't do the Trump. Like, hey.
Yeah, totally. We should say we prayers up for Eric Siska, who's out on the hunt for this eclipse himself. Uh-huh.
Yes.
Somewhere near the Canadian border. And hey, man, I hope you got a pinhole box or special glasses with you out there.
He was telling me they got a $200 million reward if you bring an eclipse to the federal government.
Yep.
So he's gunning for it. I don't know if he has the like tools of the trade, so to speak, but
that
seems excited.
That's the thing, is he's filming a pilot right now, Eclipse Hunter. It's not, I don't know how many episodes it's going to get, because again, it's really difficult.
I think it's like one episode every 20 years. It's not really the greatest model for a television series. No, we tried to tell him, but you know. Well,
I mean, we all know that the finale is going to be him attempting to catapult himself into the sun and failing in a pretty gruesome way. But you know, we hope he puts it off for a while. We do hope.
Looks like we got some eclipsers in the chat here. Welcome back to the program. Of course, Daryl Williams, Paul, David Hart, Martin Belden. Sucked says they're in Buffalo watching outside their office.
There you go.
Sucked has an office. Pretty cool.
Again, just don't look directly at it. It's going to hurt your eyes. Don't do that. They're important.
Nico Tesla 001 on Twitch. Hello to you out there. By the way, y'all, liking and subscribing as well. You got to be doing it. If you're in the chat right now watching, you got to like and subscribe this video on YouTube. Help us buck that little algorithm. Now, some people who aren't bucking shit, but it is their birthday today. So let's get into that really quickly. First up, remembering her today and what would have been her 132nd birthday. Mary Pickford, silent screen legend.
Mm.
Chris Cabin.
Uh-huh. Yes.
You big Mary Pickford fan?
I am a big fan, you know? And, you know, a 10 if there ever was one. Like,
absolutely.
Nice.
Speaking of nice, Steve, how about this? Turning 69 today, Jason Voorhees himself, Kane Hodder.
Wow. Look, for his birthday, I'm wearing the shirt.
Oh, well, look at that. Oh, yeah. Is that a Kane Hodder Jason, though, is the question?
This is Jason Lives. I believe that's him, right? Or is it not?
I forget.
Jason Lives, part 6. Yeah, I think that's Kane. I don't know. We'll have to look that up for confirmation.
I'm looking it up right now.
I hope so.
While she figures that out, Robin Wright herself turns 57.
I'm glad the pen is gone. I'm really, you know.
Oh, it's been gone for years. I think we've been saying it wrong for years after it was gone.
Oh, yeah. I think. But I'm just glad that we're there now. We're back.
Oh, of course.
Jason Lives. He was only 7 and 8. And then Jason goes to El Final Friday. And then I believe also probably the Jason X and probably.
Yeah. I always misremember that Kane Hodder played Jason way more than he actually did.
Yeah, or earlier.
He's my Jason.
Yes.
Earlier, I guess, is correct there, Steve. Also, a big happy birthday. Turn to the big 5-5, Patty Arquette.
Hell yeah.
This next one is for me and Steve only. Sorry, Chris. Emma Caulfield turns 51.
What's this?
She was on Buffy.
Oh, okay.
Wow. Hold on. Are you telling me that Emma Caulfield is only 4 years younger than Patricia Arquette?
I guess that's the idea.
That's insane.
Yeah. It's like two different timelines of entertainment colliding.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, turning 42, Taylor Kitsch. Canada's gift that we never figured out what to do with.
Somehow, just right now, the only live action Gambit we're ever going to get. There you go.
You know what? The so problem stupid. With that guy was they put him in that disastrous True Detective season 2. That was, and he didn't have the heft of a Colin Farrell, or a
to Frank come out the other side of it unscathed.
Colin Farrell had years of work to be able to offset that. Taylor Kitsch just had Friday Night Lights, and Gambit.
Well, you're totally right, because the movie side didn't help at all, dude. No. Battleship, I saw that in theaters. I saw him
John
in
Carter.
Theaters. John Carter of Mars or whatever, saw that in theaters. Like,
it's John Carter. It's a bad run. I mean, it's okay, but it
failed horribly.
It's a phenomenally bad run of lead actor and chances. Although he was great, I liked him as David Koresh there on whatever the David Koresh show. Yes,
I think it was called Let Him Cook, the David Koresh.
Isn't it just Waco?
Yeah, I think Waco, it was. Yes. What was it? Waco colon something?
Like, well, I know the second one is Waco, the Aftermath.
Yes.
Terms of Engagement, maybe?
Yeah.
Rules Waco, of Engagement?
Can you, Waco, can you believe we made a sequel to The Waco Show? Is what it was called.
Waco colon more of Michael Shannon ordering that pizza or whatever was happening part of that.
Essentially. I mean, it's just like Tales of a Negotiator after that.
Yeah, big time. Yeah, I don't know. That dude never really struck it at the box office. And speaking of, there's a couple of things that weren't really striking gold at the box office this weekend either. We're going to get into it. Let's check out the numbers. This is Highest Gross. Now, Eric not here. Eric's not here, but we should update him. Let him know he should be prepared for the worst, because now just hanging on barely at 5. Kung Fu Panda 4, 7. I believe that's 7.8. I got fat fingers there. 7.8 million, not 7.89 million. But yeah, so he's still in the top five, but as Eric really hopes, this lands in the top five for the rest of the calendar year, which I don't think will happen.
I'm just hoping he didn't put the mortgage on this bet.
Yeah.
He's known to do such things, but I hope this time he was better about it and didn't think to do that, because I do think it might drop off next week. I don't know for sure. Mm-hmm. I can't make any guarantees here, but I think next week it might have an issue.
Now, if this keeps going, if Warner's keeps having, or Universal rather, keeps having some hits here, they are sort of on track to have in every quarter of this year a tentpole film, because this already huge numbers.
Oh yeah.
Then they have potential coming up Q2 with Fall Guy, Q3 Despicable Me 4, and rounding out the year Q4 Wicked. So they have a chance to really sort of make a stink of the box office.
Excuse me, Wicked Part 1.
You're right. I'm so
John Chu's Wicked Part 1.
I'm real happy for anybody who's excited for those movies.
I suppose.
I am not happy for anyone who I might be the last angry man here. I am so sick and tired of the Fall Guy trailer, of the Fall Guy itself, of everything about it. I'm just done with the movie and I never want to see it. How about
can
that?
I say, haven't seen the trailer.
What?
Also,
I've been doing a thing where I try to get in late to the movies just because I get tired of sitting there for 30 minutes.
Does that mean you're just hanging out with Cam Rippey a lot more, or is that?
What I was going to wager, dude. There's a reason you're not seeing that pre-show, motherfucker.
This weekend, I Cameron and me did not hang out this weekend because I wanted to give Dev Patel my money. I think I might have seen it once, like online, like while I was scrolling down on Twitter or something.
Yeah,
But like I haven't actually sat through it yet.
I completely disagree with Steve. I'm so looking forward to the movie. I think it looks fucking hilarious. Great stunts. And fucking Gosling has comedic timing. It's all I'm looking for in the movie. Big stunts, comedy. It looks like both are there.
Okay.
So that's just me. I will say, I did a back-to-back at the movies yesterday. Ass to ass, absolutely. I was ass to ass with First Omen and Monkey Man. Uh-huh. And I got the trailer in both of them. And that is the hard thing about doing double features is it's pretty much the same pre-show. So in that instant, I guess I'll say that I was tired of the trailer. But I think overall, I don't know. I'm looking forward to it.
I timed my bathroom when I saw Monkey Man. I was like, oh, it's the Civil War trailer. Bathroom time.
Well, that's the one I'm quite tired of at the moment. Thank Christ it comes out next Friday.
This
Friday.
Because I have been making sure to go to the bathroom right before I see things. And also, I think, Steve, you told me you do this too. I keep my headphones in until the movie is starting. If I'm going by myself, I'm with somebody, I'm talking and such. But like, and for both First Omen and Monkey Man, I was by myself. So it might have just been on and I was just like.
Yeah, so, you know, I don't know. We'll see. Looks like it could be a fun time at the movies. It gives off nice guy vibes, and it does. Nice Guys is a great movie.
I would like it to be.
So coming in at number four, real failure here. And Chris, I wish you talked to us over the weekend. I could have organized an actual review segment for The First Omen, but you didn't. So we'll just talk about it here, I guess, for a second.
Yeah. No, I mean, because I want to give more time for The People's Joker anyway. But yeah, sure. We could talk. I mean, this was kind of better than I expected.
Way better than I expected. I don't think it's great, but no. One, didn't you think it's weird how it's pretty much the same story as Immaculate with like omen lore peppered over it?
It's the exact same story.
Sorry.
Why did we turn The Omen into a nun movie? What the fuck? That what like the why like what did the nun just do nun and nun two I guess did very well, but is it that kind of a shift that like you're like, no, we still haven't gotten the actual, like, The First Omen is like fun, but we haven't gotten a great version of that story yet. Even like, it would have been nicer for them to try to do that, even
what the Richard Donner movie.
Well, yeah, like the evil kid, like, it's no longer like evil kid is barely in the mix here. Like,
what I'm buy a ticket for.
Yeah.
No, it's literally, Steve, I refer to it this way, and I don't think this is a spoiler at all. This is the Rogue One of Omen movies. It's a prequel it backs its fat ass up right against the start of the First Omen movie.
So is it trying to just get the cum right in there? Is that the idea?
Like, it is slipping it right in. And again, this isn't really a spoiler, folks, because it's just stupid and it has nothing to do with the actual movie that you still could enjoy. I enjoyed it for the most part. Dude, we're talking, there's someone in a car, opens a folder, fucking file photo of Gregory Peck. I fucking howled in the theater.
I was kind of.
They're like, you know, just in case the stupidest people alive come to see this movie, we better make sure they know what's going on.
I kind of hoped, I didn't see the movie, if you're saying, if it's the Rogue One, it's just like, there's a CGI Gregory Peck in a hallway just murking dudes, like, let me get in to see my wife. Let me get in to see my wife.
Thankfully, it does not go the route of a fucking Tarkentown Gregory Peck, like, I'm here to pick up my secretly adopted child. Don't tell my wife about this. There's none of that. But it is straight up some asshole in voiceover being like, here's this guy. He's the fucking Italian ambassador to America. His wife will lose a baby. And then, like, they're telling you everything that happens in Omen 1976. All against, like, just this close-up of a file photo of Gregory Peck, and it is so fucking
stupid. It's so
stupid.
And, like, that's the thing, is it's what, like, an hour and 55 or something like that? It is, like, it's way a two-hour movie.
That's hefty.
It is longer than it needs to be by quite a margin. And I think of it very similar to Evil Dead Rise, and that, like, there's images that are really strong, and, like, scenes that are like, whoa, okay. I thought the opening was really, in both movies, I think the opening is really good. But just like bloat and like, I just, the drama they decide to focus on is so boring to me and so tread over. Like, we have seen this movie so many times and you're just like, all right. And it's interesting. I haven't seen it, but I've heard it from other people. It does seem like it's almost exactly like Immaculate as well. And that
it's
just
the same
came
thing.
Out.
It's an American girl goes to Rome to take her nun vows and live in a nunnery. And
did this girl get fucking Italian lessons before she left? Because that would be a great idea.
She does speak a little better Italian
than
this character in Immaculate.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, both movies, someone, Zoo and M in the chat mentioned it. Aren't they both ultimately about reproductive rights? And isn't that timely? Yes, of course it is. Yes, they both are. But they literally came out 2 weeks apart. It's a fucking failure on, you know, from a distribution angle to do something like this. I mean, to think that The Omen is some powerhouse franchise that was going to blow the doors off of, like, nobody gives a fuck. Those sequels are terrible. Those sequels are terrible movies. Nobody gives a shit. That remake was terrible.
The remake, even more, I'm just like, what why does anybody remember that? There was like an interesting, like, not Omen, but Omen, like, esque movie called Joshua with Sam Rockwell that came out. That was pretty good. But like, I still think they have yet to make a great version of this. Like, would have been nice for them to really put their elbow into and try to make a great version of it, but they didn't.
Well, I think that's the point, is I think that, like, you're better off doing a knockoff than doing a franchise of something that, you know what I mean?
Yes.
A knockoff that, like, updating it, you know what I mean? Evil kid monster movie, sure, no, whatever. Josh,
if you just, I don't know, like, rebooted the whole thing and you were like, this is The Omen.
Yeah.
And I don't know, kind of cut it in half so it's like half nun, half adopted by Gregory Peck surrogate character, whatever. Like, yeah, that's kind of something, like the Thorne family. Now I'm remembering the name.
There you go.
But yeah, it's 2 hours of, you know, from the jump, right? Because it starts and it's like Rome, 1971. And I was like,
I know what that is.
So Damien's like 5 years old in that first Omen movie in 1976. I know exactly what you're doing. Yeah. So it's kind of lazy and obvious and whatever, but kind of a soft recommend. Anyway, in at number 3, oh, I should say, we didn't even fucking talk about the numbers, but just really quickly, a paltry $8 million. Absolutely pathetic.
I had no idea the movie was coming out. I mean, that's why, yeah, I didn't see it. I literally did not know. When you were like, I'm going to see The Omen this week, I was like, is it like a special screening? Like, no, it's
out. Some sort of anniversary Fathom event. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Total biffing on the marketing, 100%. And you know, because of that and many other reasons, that's why Ghostbusters Afterlife is somehow in third with just $9 million, you know, in its, whatever this is, third week for this guy. Yeah, that's just, and the thing too, I talk about tracking sometimes on this segment, like the tracking for Omen was between like $10 and $15 million. So it fell even below that. Just a complete and total Duke catastrophe all around. But then here we go at number 2, right where I thought it would be, Monkey Man, which we'll review sort of more in depth in a little bit. But $10.1 million, not great. Again, below the tracking here. Mm-hmm.
This had a great advertising for this movie. The trailer was fantastic.
Trailer was really
and
good.
It was everywhere.
This is just that thing of like, you know. I sort of said this on the Patreon poll that I did on Friday, but like the bloat of dude movies throughout March was not helping this at all. And then you're putting it out. You had Final Four this weekend. Yeah. So college basketball taking up some interest. You had fucking WrestleMania. So that destroys a lot of people going to the movies because they got big WrestleMania plans or whatever. So like, just unfortunate release timing for something that, you know, I think is a pretty good movie and had a decent debut at South by, like the whole thing.
I mean, it's not just WrestleMania, because then, I mean, you could go see a movie before, but a lot of these people, they also want to have their Wrestle Munchies. So they're trying to, they have to have time beforehand to make the nachos and the chicken wing dip and such and such.
That's right. But
I think this suffered for sure.
But that's why still a firm fucking grip at the box office. Godzilla X Kong, the new empire. Look at this number. Another $31.7 million.
Wow. Okay. Guess we'll see another one of those. Hot. And I just kind of hope, let everybody move on. You know what I mean? Like, just let's
usher in some new characters. You're right.
That would be great.
Like
the crab monster. I forget. Maybe we saw him in the background somewhere.
Yeah.
Get anybody in here, please.
You have scores of monsters that you could do. And shit, dare I say, create a new one?
No.
Well, did
that maybe happen? That can't be happening. Are you out of your mind? Is Trapper going to be joining? Is Monarch season 2 going to be having Trapper?
Here's story the
storyline. One has to wonder.
Here's the thing, Chris. I mean, the timeline of Monarch, like the present day part of it, takes place only a few years after the 2014 Godzilla. So, like, Trapper placement is on the table.
I'm telling you, Trapper's a keeper. He's here.
Oh, isn't that funny?
Yeah.
Trapper's a keeper. I don't know, but. Dude, put more Dan Stevens in movies, whatever.
Sure.
Abigail looks fucking fun. So we'll see. But that was the box of... Oh, and I'll bring up the poll here, because this one, the money thing, you knew Kong was going to be top, so that was kind of pointless. And, you know, sort of guessing which of the two forecasted to not do great movies would do better isn't exciting, so I decided to do it horse racing this week. And try to guess the placement, sort of a, let's call it a win, play, show at the box office. So this is what we had up, and it looks like it was just 13% of people guessed it right. Godzilla X Kong at 1, Monkey Man at 2, and then at 3, something that's not the first Omen. Yeah. Which was indeed correct. Ghostbusters Afterlife.
You cannot beat franchise horror name. I know that this isn't going to make but actually, how much did this cost? It couldn't cost that much, did it?
What?
The first Omen.
Yeah. Oh, it cost, I think it was something around like $30 million, and it was originally set for Hulu. Similarly, oh, really? With Monkey Man, was originally set for Netflix.
That makes sense because it's dark as shit. So that makes sense, yeah. Actually. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, like, if it is a franchise, but like in what way though? Because there's not like a character that
it has the name on the just, on,
yes,
on
exactly, the thing. Exactly.
Yeah, that's all that matters. No, that's all like, that matters. Period.
Two, he's like kind of a little older.
Yeah.
Three, he's played by Sam Neill as an adult. Yeah. And four, it's a little girl that I think is related to him in some way.
Got it.
So those are those sequels. And I'm when I tell you, I mean, who gives a fuck? The second movie has a death in it that is kind of awesome that they do kind of reference in this new movie, which is weird. There's two things we reference, two sort of deaths that we reference from other Omen movies. And I was kind of like, boy, do I get it. You know, so that was another knock against it. Anyway, all that stuff is out now. We will see what it does with, you know, maybe some things find healthier life on PVOD or Hulu. You know, the funny thing is going to be seeing on the fucking like little scroll go by on Disney Plus.
Yes.
First Omen. Like, you know. It'll be there now. This whole looping the, you know, tying all this shit together is very weird.
It's a huge LOL every time I go on, like, for X-Men 97. Like, you want to watch Poor Things? I'm like, do you want me to watch Poor Things? How does that going to work?
Yeah. Also, what is the algorithm doing where it's like, yeah, Steve just watched two episodes of X-Men 97.
You know what he would love?
But anyway, some things that I don't think actually, or no. The second coming attraction we're going to look at in a second here, I did see in a theater this weekend. But the other thing, I haven't seen anywhere except online. And boy, I'm excited for it. I'll take a look now in a very expertly named segment. We do indeed call Trailer Segment. So a couple of things to look at in Trailer Segment this week. One of the things, though, any sort of, let's see, where did it go? Oh, there we go. Any eagle-eyed folks here who, you know, subscribe to the channel, get the notification when I set up these things, will note that I had first up In a Violent Nature and then a trailer for the film Cuckoo, which I also think looks great, but something happened to me in my, what was it for? Was it Monkey Man? No, it was First Omen. The second trailer of the day played, and I kind of have a funny story for it. So I switched some things out. But first up, yes, In a Violent Nature from IFC Films. Have either of you guys seen the trailer for this yet?
No, yeah, no. I don't even know what this is.
Okay, so this is pretty cool, Steve. Chris, I think someone out there, and I'm not claiming whatever, but it's just a funny coincidence that this is definitely an idea for a movie that we've pitched before.
Okay.
One of our various shows.
Probably. I mean, it seems like something like we've been dancing around for a few times.
Yeah. I think it looks cool as shit. This movie is out from IFC May 31st. I don't know if that's day and date with Shudder, which will also go on. But let's take a look at this. I'm not going to say anything, Steve. I just want you to take a look. And folks at home, after you're done liking and subscribing on this video here, check out in the show information. We do have links to both of these trailers. So first up, In a Violent Nature, which I keep wanting to call A Most Violent Year, which wasn't that yeah. Oscar Isaac movie?
It was indeed, yeah. But they keep stealing his trucks. Stop stealing my trucks!
Oh, there we go. My trucks again.
Stop trying to be Sidney Lumet. You're not Sidney Lumet.
Yeah, I kind of thought that movie was a snooze, but this looks kind of cool. Anyway, all right, here we go. We're all queued up. In a Violent Nature in 3, 2, 1, go.
It's better not be another fucking Jesse Eisenberg Sasquatch movie, which I have to say
now. Oh, it is. You're about to, there's about to be a family of Jasons.
No Sasquatch sunset here, Steve, I promise. Ooh, look at those teens. Yeah.
He doesn't like that.
No, he doesn't. Now, do we see what we're doing here, Steve?
I see. I'm enjoying it.
This is... I'm pretty sure we've pitched this as an idea for a movie somewhere along the way.
What the
f- Yes! I'm going to watch the ever-loving fuck out of this movie.
Yep.
And it looks great, too. Really well shot. Looks like it might be Super 16. Zodiac? Wait. Yes.
Yeah.
Animals don't get too hung up on reason. They just keep killing.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yes!
So is it... We're staying with him the whole time. Is that the idea?
I believe that is the idea. Yes, we are staying with this Jason-esque dude. And so it's like we're seeing, like, I love that shot of like the car driving and you can hear people hooting and hollering, ready for a fun weekend of definitely not being murdered.
I mean, too bad that, I mean, this is Eric's dream movie. Like,
I know.
Yeah. That's, he's probably going to be hooting and hollering when he sees this one. But I mean, I'm very interested. I mean, art house Jason with natural lighting, like with Terrence Malick lighting, it sounds nice.
Yeah,
it could work. I've heard mixed things from friends, but I mean, Shudder's been doing pretty good with their pickups, so I'm actually pretty excited about seeing it, regardless.
Yeah, no, we'll see. Obviously, because it is one of those things, right? I mean, it's a reach. So like, either it's going to work for people or it's not, and I feel like, if you can't get on board with what it is, it's going to be a really arduous 90 some odd minutes. Hopefully a 90 some odd minutes, by the way. I don't know if you could do this for 2 hours.
Please, please, no. You know, please, God.
Hopefully 75 minutes if they have it in them.
Oh.
I don't know if that's possible, but that would be fantastic.
Here's what it is. It shouldn't be any longer than the shortest actual Friday the 13th movie.
There you go.
Let's put it that way. So whatever that is, 87 minutes. I'll take 87 minutes.
That works fine with me.
That's fine. Something in there. I don't know. It's really cool. I haven't looked into Chris Nash. I know nothing about the director who also wrote it. But pretty cool. So something I think, I don't know. Are we excited for this? Alien Romulus.
Oh,
the other thing we're going to take a look at here.
I'm okay with it.
Fetty Alvarez, of course.
I kind of would have liked one more of those. What do you call it there? Because I just watched them when I was
the Ridley Scott
covering. If Ridley got to finish his weirdo Prometheus trilogy, I would have been okay with it, and then move on to whatever this is. But I think I'm always down for an alien movie. So I'm curious.
I will say what I've read about this. I think we're pulling a Saw X with this. I think this is Alien X, like. Chris, did you hear anything about this, or Steve? It takes place between Alien and Aliens.
Oh, that's interesting.
Oh, I mean,
what the deal is? I think I heard
possibly
that, right?
Part. I mean, if it is, it would make sense for it to be like part of the colony that they go to search in Aliens. If this was who was there, because I think it is like supposed to be a group of young people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
that's what it sort of looks like. Yeah.
I have no idea, but like I. Any alien movie I'm going to see, it's just, it's a sickness with me. It's my favorite franchise. I'm going to do it regardless.
Right. Someone's here saying, what's the intel on this? 94 minutes on that In a Violent Nature, I saw someone say.
Probably listed on IMDb maybe or something like that.
Yeah. Right. Well, if it, you know. IMDb runtimes when the movie's not officially out yet can be sometimes not that trustworthy. So who knows? But that's at least a good sign. It's not like you know, 2 hours and 50 minutes or some shit.
That would be tragic.
It would be tragic. Also, gotta say, if fucking Alien Romulus is 2 hours and 50 minutes, that's also tragic.
I would not like that. That would not be good.
This looks like a very quick sort of setting, you know, a setting in where the alien story would have to be quick, if that makes sense. So we'll see. But here we go. They do have a teaser for it. This is only a minute long, so we don't get a ton here. But afterwards, I do want to tell you guys what was going down in my the first Omen screening when this came on. So here we go. Alien Romulus out this August, actually. August the 16th in theaters from 20th Century Studios, which again, I can't wait. It's like, you liked Bluey. Do you want to watch Alien Romulus?
Please.
So
enjoy.
I don't know. Yeah, so we'll see. All right, here we go. Alien Romulus, the teaser trailer in 3, 2, 1, go.
I like that ship.
Yep.
I like that ship. Cool. Who's Fede Alvarez?
He did that first Evil Dead remake.
Yeah. Okay. And then Don't Breathe
is not good.
I didn't care for it either. That Evil Dead, though, I liked more than Evil Dead Rise.
Is very good.
Is that the Stephen Lang, get out of my property?
Yes.
I'm blind, get off my property. Yeah.
Blind guy, yeah. I hated that movie.
I mean, this is smart just leaning fully into the horror of it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Got a little army of face jumpers there. That's kind of something.
Okay.
Oh, I like that.
Stick it, dude.
Doing it for someone, dude. Now, here's the thing. We've seen a lot of face jumpers or face huggers in this. Let's not make it too much of a thing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like my loyal army of face huggers. You know, I don't know about any of that. I just get worried that it's like the stupid fucking little Stay Puft Marshmallow Men in the new Ghostbusters movies.
I don't think
fun. Look at them.
I don't think they're going to be drinking Coca-Cola products, but you know, they might be doing something. I'm happy to see Priscilla getting a chance to do the Sigourney role.
Kaylee Spani. Yeah, totally. Yeah,
I mean, she's great. So that's nice. I heard at the cast. I don't have it in front of me, but I remember looking at it and being like, oh, that's nice. They got a good young posse out there.
I like it.
So I don't know. I can't remember if this was another thing that was like initially destined for Hulu, like they did with that Prey movie.
Yeah.
The only person here, Chris, that I recognize on the Letterboxd cast listing is Kaylee Spani. I don't recognize any of the other names. So
I have to look.
I guess, you know, who knows? We'll see. But I will be at the theater for that because I don't want to let down this franchise. I couldn't go see fucking Prey in theaters because they screwed us, but I will see this movie in theaters. It looks like a good sci-fi horror situation to sort of check out there. Speaking of checking stuff out, did you guys know that in like just a few short weeks, we are going to be playing a show in Atlanta, Georgia?
Really?
Did you hear about that? Yeah, no, we will be there at 4:25.
Mm-hmm.
We are talking Gamer. In the great city of Atlanta, Georgia.
Gamer!
Yeah, I was saying it wrong.
Yeah,
Gamer! Yes. Yeah, hell yeah. We're going to be at the City Winery on 4:25 talking about this movie. Very excited.
My favorite part of that movie is when the titular gamer leaves to go to the bathroom. Gerard Butler stomps his foot and looks at his watch like Sonic for a minute.
Let's get moving! I'm impatient as a hedgehog.
He's just busting a bunch of pigeons come out around him.
A joke so good I might use that live again. Will he use it? Let's find out.
That's true. You'll only know if you see us in Atlanta. 4:25. And then in May, we're doing what we're calling a little Texas two-step. We will be at the Houston Improv 5:14 talking RoboCop 2.
Oh, yeah.
Now, this is a magnificent motion picture. Sort of an unofficial WLM, but we're still going to be making fun of it all the same, of course.
I have seen this movie with Chris and Eric at some point in the mid-2010s.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Now, Steve, let me ask you this, though. Like, was that first RoboCop a VHS staple in the Sadak house growing up?
We loved it, yeah, but we just never went to 2 or 3, honestly.
Yeah, just never took that leap, huh?
Mm-hmm. No,
I can understand it for 3 because that's just trash. Oof.
Yeah.
But you know, 2 definitely has its moments, folks. We're talking all about it.
Wasn't your dad a huge Tom Noonan guy, though? I remember you telling me.
Yeah,
we went to see his directorial debut. What happened was he was.
Yes, of course.
And then he was there for the re-release of What Happened Was a few years ago. So 5:14, that is Houston, Texas. And then 5:15, we're heading over to Austin, Texas, playing Cap City Comedy. We're talking From Dusk Till Dawn. Now, this is an official We Love Movie situation because, Steve, it's going to be a
dark night.
Love it. Can I tell you, since we've been like doing so many plugs for this run of shows and stuff like that, this hasn't happened with Gamer because I just want to be surprised about it because I haven't seen it yet. RoboCop 2, I haven't gotten there yet, but dude, From Dusk Till Dawn, I've been itching to like rewatch it, and I'm like, is there enough time to watch it now? And then when I watch it for the show, I'm not going to be annoyed.
I mean, you can watch the sequels.
Yeah, exactly. That's
the Texas movie. Blood Money, which is almost watchable, I gotta say.
Oh, wow.
They're really close.
That's about the Hangman's Daughter.
I don't know about the Hangman's Daughter. I also, that was a state where it was me and Eric and Steve were in some state and were watching it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. I think I found a clip of the fucking titular Hangman and his daughter. This is fucking crazy. Let's check this out really quickly.
My daughter and I have tried other online casinos, but Betfair's the best.
Real players, real stories.
I feel like Betfair gives the best bonuses.
You've won with a few.
That's right.
You can play your favorite casino games anywhere in New Jersey. Join today to play your first day risk-free up to $200.
I've been going to the casino since you had to wear a sports jacket to get in.
Yeah, and now my dad plays in his pajamas at home.
Play your way at BetfairCasino.com.
All right, so that was it.
I needed that. I needed that today.
I'll tell you what, though. I like the little, like, the scumbag laugh that the dad kind of has. The really sneaky, like, at that one part. It's great. Maybe we'll play that again tomorrow night at 8 p.m., by the way, when we are going live WHM Mailbag. We have not done one in quite a long time, so this is an April edition. Tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Eastern, it's happening. Get them letters in, folks. We're going to start culling letters around noon tomorrow. So get them in tonight, but, you know, no later than noon or else it's pointless, really.
We all hate movies at gmail.com. Movies at gmail.com.
That is right. I love that fucking graphic. Someone was wondering, by the way, what Kenny G is up to these days, you think?
Oh, I'm sure.
Well, I think it's a problem. When they announced that Snyder was no longer making DC movies, I think that might have been a problem.
That was the end of it, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, poor Kenneth. Kenneth is gone.
All right, my dudes, let's get into some on-screen stuff we were watching this week. And first up, the screener link expired on me, so I couldn't check out what you guys did. The People's Joker.
I really like
the new one from Vera Drew here. Sorry, Steve. And out from Altered Innocence. But yes, go ahead, please.
I really like this movie. It's really amazing. I hadn't seen the trailer. It's really funny. I never saw the trailer for it, but I actually saw it the day after I saw the movie when I was watching Monkey Man. They had a trailer ahead of it.
In the theater,
really?
Yes. Yeah. It was just kind of weird to be like, it's such a weird, fun, how did you make this movie, you know what I mean? Like it's a one of one, and it's really, it's special for that. Not only just because of all of the trans themes. I mean, like what's really fun about the movie is her perspective on modern comedy, which kind of gets, which is more to do with the movie than even probably the Batman lore, honestly. Like it's more of a kind of a treatise on modern comedy than even
she Batman was like, stuff. She was like an editor for like Tim and Eric and Comedy Bang Bang, I think.
Okay.
That sounds right. I didn't check her resume before.
I think it's something like that. She's been in comedy for a while.
It definitely carries the markers of early Adult Swim, Bush era Comedy Central, DIY, like YouTube production.
Yes.
Like, that's what's so, it's a blast. Like, it just, I couldn't get over just what was going on throughout and how inventive it was from frame to frame. There's so many ideas packed into things. And for someone who's been like watching these comic book movies and being like, a lot of these are fun. A lot of these are like good action movies, but like none of them are like gripping. None of them are like, wow, stylistically new. Like, this was I said it in Letterboxd. It's cold water in a fucking desert. I really loved this.
Well, this is a movie that really, I mean, again, like, and we should talk about the transness of it, but other like the Batman stuff itself, it really does it's a perfect case for why these properties should eventually become public domain, because they are public domain. And like,
right,
there's this moment, and I'm not spoiling anything, like where she's talking about watching Batman Forever or whatever they call it in this universe with her mom, and wanting to be Nicole, realizing she wanted to be Nicole Kidman and not Bruce Wayne in that moment.
Cool.
And it's like, yeah, because it's, this shit has existed for 85 years and it does belong to all of us. You know what I mean? Everyone's got that story, not that story, but a story like that, where like, I watched fucking Batman Forever and I had some weird ideas about it. You know what I mean? And right. Like, here's what that is. And I think that that's really, it's really cool to explore that. And
I mean, it's overwhelmingly personal. Like, she makes a point of bleeping out, because it shows her like from childhood on. So they bleep out, she's not going to allow herself to be dead named. So
yes, they're
out in the early parts. And when it keeps going, like, it's actually talking about the community, and like, they're all not, it's not all nice people. Like, that's the other thing I was so refreshed by, was like, there are people who are kind of assholes in that community. And like, she's very honest about that, and talking about what relationships like that are like. It's how it blends that personal element is so bold. Like, it balled me over.
Yeah, it is. I mean, like, it's like almost to the point where like, it's almost too sincere. It's incredibly sincere.
Yes.
While being funny, you know, which is a really hard needle to thread, which is really, it's really original. It's, you know what I mean, like, there's, and it's kind of fun, like, anytime we can't afford something, it turns into a cartoon, which is totally fun, you know what I mean?
And
I wouldn't want them to go back and redo it or anything like that. Like, here's the People's Joker with all the money, because it doesn't make any fucking sense.
No.
You know what I mean? Like,
that's kind of the spirit and the point of it.
Well, the story of it is now, I mean, it had been, I think, at Fantasy Fest or some big festival had
Fantastic
screened.
Fest?
Fantastic Fest, thank you. And it had gone through all of these hoops to get out, because there were like secret screenings. A friend of the show, Jordan, had had a hand in a few of those screenings, had done some Q&As with Vera. It's got a story of an actually inspiring story getting to the screen.
Yes.
And it was pretty public. And that to me enriched it, watching it. With so many of them, that's just like, I saw, you know, Tom Cruise did a flip on a bike over a mountain and like didn't die. And that, you know, that is inspiring too, but in much less heartfelt ways than this one, I think.
Yeah, exactly. It feels so much like, that old Mr. Show sketch, like, when you hear, hey guys, get in here, like, that's what this, it's like, it's a weird little lightning bolt of calling it a fan film is really derisive, because it's not a fan film, but like, it's just got that DIY-ness of it. And again, it's really audacious. It's biting every hand that could feed it. You know what I mean? With a couple of fun celebrity cameos who are, you could barely notice, but like it bites every hand that it defeated, because it just, it's got a really specific point of view that does not bend at all, you know, which I really like.
That's great. And honestly, it's so great to see the reaction to it and hear the reviews about it, because for me, like, when I first heard about it, I mean, Steve, I was like, this sounds like a fan film.
Yeah.
So to be able to elevate that, you know, because that's what fan films are. They're low budget productions of big ideas or big properties like that, right? So like, the fact that she's able to work with the budget and make it into its own thing, and it's, you know, so that nobody could say, oh, it's just some fan film, like, just toss it off like that.
No, exactly. You
know, to have brought so much into it like that, it's fucking great. And I was so pissed off that the fucking screener was expired last night.
What's the release on this? Is it this week? I know
it was out in limited this past Friday.
Okay. IFC had it in the city, I know.
A comic artist I follow, Maddie Lachamsky, had it. It was the IFC billboard. It was like, IFC is showing The People's Joker and Evangelion. And they were like, oh, yeah, it seems like they're trying to get all lore trans people and take them away in a big net kind of a thing. It's very funny to me. But
I think there's an an Indigo's Girls documentary
yes,
too.
That yeah, is yeah. A three. Yeah, it's really funny. But yeah, no, I guess Alamo will have it at some point. Because
it's very cool that Altered Innocence is putting it out. I'm seeing a lot of people in the chat. I'd love to see this. I don't think it's showing anywhere near me.
Yeah.
Honestly, odds are if you're not near some sort of metropolitan area or you have like a really robustly programmed art house near wherever you live, you probably will just be streaming this. But that's okay. Still rent it. Still support the movie.
Yeah, absolutely. Doing
a PVOD rental versus, you know, waiting till it's on Tubi or whatever. You know, that still is mm-hmm. money back towards the movie in some way. So yeah. It's not going to get a big release, but keep your eyes peeled.
Yes, and this is a movie to definitely try and financial support if you can, just because there's no money here. And again, the audacity to make it, the audacity to go against Warner Brothers in the way that they did, it's really it deserves some cash.
Yeah.
Yeah. She said, "Fuck you, David Zaslav," and it worked.
Oh, God. So. and he couldn't make it a tax shelter, which is nice.
Yeah, exactly. Which I'm sure, you know, he wanted to. Mm-hmm. So very cool. Up next, something the three of us all did see, and another movie that was sort of possibly rescued from obscurity here, this time thanks to Jordan Peele, Dev Patel's Monkey Man. So the story with this was this is his directorial debut, of course, mm-hmm. and he had it at Netflix, and some sort of legal mumbo jumbo with streaming rights for this in some international market kind of fucked the deal. And then Jordan Peele came in and was like, "Hey, I totally saw this and it's great. And I want, you know, Monkey Paw Productions to be, have its name tacked on there." And all of a sudden, boom, Universal picks it up. Theatrically wide release, very cool. And you know, for the most part, I enjoyed it. It's too long, by about like 20 minutes. Which causes it to just like drag right in the middle. It's a very saggy fucking middle because the structure of this story is one of those hero presumed dead goes away to train for a while and then comes back to the movie. So like that always feels like more of a time suck. And when the movie's sort of too long like this, I was really feeling it. Also, not the greatestly constructed villains, a little too 2D for my taste.
Yeah, I'm with you. If we remember, if they're a bit more memorable, the action is fantastic. And I think like, because what I was waiting for, and just sort of like, I'm like, is this just going to be John Wick in Mumbai? And it kind of just is. You know what I mean? Like, but if the villains are a bit more colorful and memorable or interesting, and like, I think that I like the Fight Club stuff, but it feels like a different movie and it needs to be folded in. And I think Charlton Copley is almost really memorable, but he just kind of is just there and he's gone.
Did you guys think, especially like at his reveal, I mean, he's doing the arms like this. He's like kind of looking up. He's got the beard. Did you guys get a vibe that he was channeling Shawn Michaels by any chance?
A little bit. Yeah. Just a touch. He definitely watched it.
No, I was watching it. I was like, "I'm a sexy boy, sexy boy. Yeah. I'm not your boy." Like he really felt like he was doing a Shawn Michaels routine. And it's just, he's kind of just gone from the movie. And I feel like that dude's one of your faces in the movie. Like he's a recognizable actor, you know, particularly for American genre audiences. Like, you got to give that guy something more to do, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I mostly agree with you guys. I think it's one of those situations where it's an action movie, and I mostly only care about the action. Everything else is, you know, interestingly shot. Like, it's very first-time filmmaker to me. Like, everything is very rushed. He doesn't have a real rhythm yet. But, you know, there's visual ideas there. They're scattered amongst the fucking 2 hours, but like they're there, and so I hope he gets more chances to, you know, hone it after this. I mean, we'll see how it does next week if it has any kind of legs, and then I assume it'll probably have a pretty decent life on VOD considering action movies tend to have a get more juice from there. But
I feel that's where you're going to find more of it. I mean, again, because that opening does not bode well, and like there's other stuff a coming. Like April gets into May, and then that's your big summer movie season. So you don't really have a lot of runway here to try to get this thing to take off anymore. And I just feel like, yeah, like once you can rent it on Amazon and Apple and shit like that, that's fine. You know,
It's just kind of ironic that the thing that elevates the movie from just being another John Wick movie is Dev Patel's performance. I think Dev Patel. Which is also like, why does this guy have to beg, borrow, and steal to make a fucking movie? You know what I mean? Like, I know. This guy's a goddamn movie star. I should be seeing this dude once a year in the best of movies, and I don't know why I don't. But like, it just that his performance is that good that elevates the movie. Apparently, I just want a little bit more out of everything else, kind of a thing.
He got really fucked with that because I think the Pandy fucked that David Copperfield movie that he was in, which like also was not for me. But I'm sitting there. I had the exact same thought yesterday, Steve. Like, I'm just sitting there watching this movie like, this guy fucking rips. Like, he's so good. And the last, I mean, I think one of the most underseen and underappreciated movies of his is The Green Knight. The David Lowery film,
amazing,
which he's fucking fantastic in, and I'm sorry, that's a hill I'll fucking die on. That's an excellent movie. I feel like that was another one that wasn't really super well received by the public.
It's just hard for him to get work because he's so ugly. So it's difficult for you know, like it's just a
it's a curse. Dude.
We can
say what it is. It's just a curse that you got to deal with there.
You know, he was like kind of the young dude working at the hotel. Was that one of his movies? I think
with the Marigold Hotel.
Yeah, I think he's in where it's like old English people find out that like South Asian people are humans. Like movies. I think he's in one of those floating around.
Maybe running. I think he's running the hotel.
Is he running it? Okay,
I think he's running the second best exam.
Yes.
No, I forget it. I don't remember it even.
He's in there somewhere. He was in, was it a Michael Winterbottom movie, the terrorist attack movie?
Oh, one of the late ones, the late Winterbottom. I fell off with Winterbottom. I didn't keep up with him, sadly.
He did, I think it was called like Hotel Mumbai or something like that, about like a real life terrorist attack that happened there.
Yes, that sounds familiar.
Maybe it wasn't Michael Winterbottom that directed it, but I'm pretty sure that's what it was called, and I'm pretty sure Dev was in it.
I know why I'm going to ask this question. I already know the answer to it. Like, why wasn't he your number one pick for James Bond? Because I assume bombs will go off in all major cities if that were to happen. Like, it's over. Like, we can't do anything. Once that casting announcement goes out, the world is over.
Yeah, okay. The nukes will launch. I mean, you're totally onto something, and I was kind of thinking it watching Monkey Man yesterday, and I feel like, in a way, it's kind of a good audition reel, even though James Bond should not have fighting like that in James Bond movies, but like similarly action appeal kind of shit. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. He's in a car chase in this movie that was pulled off successfully. And the most crucial thing is he's not too old yet. You still have some time here. So it's not that Aaron Taylor Johnson or whatever the fuck.
We love him. Don't we?
No, folks? Thank you.
I mean, he's very good looking. I will give the man that. But also Dev Patel. Very good looking.
Incredibly good looking guy.
Very good looking man. If you're going for young, like compare, like of course everybody was like, you should have done the Idris thing and just have a couple movies with Idris and like have fun with it. But then again, I think the bombs start going off again.
Well, Idris also said like he doesn't want to do it.
So he doesn't.
So that kind of puts
it. Well, that should put it to bed then.
But we'll see. I mean, as far as like a first directorial effort and you're fucking breaking your balls doing all these fight scenes and stuff, I think he literally broke his hand. Like. Well done job, dude. Like,
really worthwhile seeing it. Yeah, I feel it's just a touch too long, a little and a touch on the bland side when it really matters, but it's really fun and the action's great and Patel's fantastic. So there you go.
According to a couple of people in the chat too, this is something I wasn't going to weigh in on because I'm completely ignorant to it, but apparently on the good side of history with regard to Indian politics, which that's great if true. I don't know anything about that.
If true.
Huge if true. But anyway, we're coming up to the hour here. Something that I will weigh on really quickly because I just don't know how to feel about it. Real quick, Michael Keaton directed and starring Secret Movie. All right, so Ooh, Knox sunglasses. Goes with
I like this. Yeah.
He is wearing these exact sunglasses in this movie at parts. So that's at least not false advertising. Although I will say, this Mashable critic, who the pull quote is a mind-bending, twisted journey. The fuck movie did you watch?
I have a question about the career best performance. Yeah, that I have several questions about.
Who's that? Like, let's see. It's a Chris
Cabin.
Chris Berkeley. It's JoeBlow.com is responsible for that.
Got it. Well, yeah, that I would think that's a bit of a lie.
They are just too puzzling fucking pull quotes for this movie. So this movie is your straight up. He's a professional murderer, hitman kind of guy.
True.
Who, oh, wouldn't you know it? He's got fucking really fast progressing degenerative brain disease. So he's, you know, going to be in full on dementia in a matter of weeks. And as he gets this diagnosis and he's trying to like cash out his life and whatever, his son, James Marsden, estranged, comes back into his life and is like, hey, I need you to help me cover up a murder. And he's like, hey, I can barely remember my own fucking name, but let's do it. So he like launches a plan with the help of a mostly seated Al Pacino in this movie.
Oh, wow.
That's what kind of got me, because I was flipping through after the People's Joker screener debacle yesterday. And I was like, let's watch something. And I was like, okay, Michael Keaton. Okay, Michael Keaton directed. That's interesting. Oh, yeah. Al Pacino? And yeah, it's like Al Pacino's kind of like his hitman teacher or whatever. And he's like,
sure.
Yeah, I'll help you wind down the last few days of your fucking shitty life, whatever. And it's like, it's just this really slow moving dementia drama that's set in the world of being a hitman. And like, he is kind of killing some people and whatever, but it is like pretty sleepy at almost 2 hours. It's kind of, I don't know. It's a soft recommend. It's definitely a secret movie because like, what are we talking? You directed this thing, Michael Keaton. Like, I think it was like, probably one of those things where it's on like one screen at like the Empire 25 or something, and that's its release.
Yeah, that's all you need. I mean, they've tried this kind of movie. I mean, this exact premise has been done like half a dozen times. I think Liam Neeson just did it, I think.
Wasn't
like,
there one?
Literally last year.
Didn't Ben Kingsley do one as well? Like, I just feel like we're all doing it.
The Married, not The Married Gentleman, but I know what You Kill Me. Kill Me.
Yes,
you're thinking of. And then like there was a French one that was serious and like that didn't do anybody any favors.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this movie is playing it more serious than not. You know, it's interesting to see Michael Keaton and Al Pacino have scenes together. That's kind of, you know, there's one scene where they're like driving in a car and it's like two, you know, really big guys, you know, going at it in a scene. And you're like, all right, if this was like 30 years ago, maybe we would have had something, but I don't know. Pacino looks like he's just in it for the chicken wings at craft services, you know. Just the best part of the movie, it's a random shot. It has nothing to do with the story at all. Pacino just dancing with the lady that's playing his wife. I think like Pacino is like Chris Walken, where it's like, I gotta be dancing in at least one scene of everything I do.
Because
like it's out of nowhere, he's just dancing with this woman. Looks like it was charming as hell, but has nothing to do with the actual movie. Anyway,
look really quickly.
That's B-Man Knox goes away. Yes,
B-Man has it right. Didn't we just do this an episode on this with Patrick Stewart? Yes, Safe House is exactly the
Sure. Of course, yes. Oh wow, geez, maybe my mind's fucking going. I did not recall that at all. But you're totally right, B-Man. It is pretty much Safe House, but less unintentionally funny, and also not intentionally funny at all. I'm saying Safe House is unintentionally hilarious.
Yes,
That's the point I'm trying to make there. But anyway, gang, that's Secret Movie for this week. That is On Screen Live for this week. Now, just quick plugs here for the week. And otherwise, of course, we're plugging new designs in our merch store, folks, including this Night Vision design. I love that fucking Orson Welles drawing Philippe did. It's really fantastic. Head over to our website, click on that merch tab, new designs there. And classic designs, too, that you might not have picked up yet. If you're still catching up from last week, of course, we had a We Love Movies celebrating Sheen Pearl, such as we are this month, with a conversation about Oliver Stone's Wall Street. Also available now, episode 2 of Too Old for This Shit. We're talking X-Men 97 this season on Too Old for This Shit. Episodes 3 and 4 are covered in that most recent episode. Loving it so far.
Getting loving it.
sexy chili going on in that episode.
Oh, the sexiest of all chilies. And like I did mention before, but yes, we are knee deep in Sheen Pearl over on We Hate Movies. With, just tomorrow, all new episode on The Rookie.
Now, this is
a directed and starring film.
Yes, baby.
Also has Charlie Sheen in it.
Yes.
Sure does.
A wonderful motion picture. I can't wait for you to see what we've done with it.
Absolutely. we did have a ball talking about that. You can hear that, by the way, commercial free on Patreon, the $8 level or up. And a couple other things coming out this week on Patreon only. Thursday, the long-awaited, much-anticipated return of Once in a Lifetime. We are talking just what the doctor ordered. The fifth and, as of now, most recent. That's the way I'm putting it. I'm not saying final. I refuse
to believe. I refuse.
This is the last. But this is the most recent Dr. Beck adventure.
Yes.
Where he's also kind of pulling a hider in the house.
Mm. Not nearly enough. Not nearly enough, I'm going to say. But yes, he does it for a little bit.
I now want to know, though, because this is two in a row. Because Walls are watching with Branscombe Richmond. And there now this... Yeah. What is the Lifetime catalog with secret hider in the houses? If anyone has another Lifetime movie where it's about one thing,
well,
but the character also pulls a hider in the house for a little bit, we want to know about
it. I have to imagine, knowing Lifetime's programming, that there has got to be at least one where a man gets divorced and then moves into his ex-wife's
big house. Time, yeah.
It's got to exist. So one of them is that, and I would like to know the name of that motion picture and whether or not Shannon Doherty stars. I would like to know very soon if anybody can find that out for me.
Absolutely. Hey, speaking of Shannon Doherty, Chris, nice job. Friday, we're dropping this month's Melrose 210, by the way.
Oh, baby. Mm.
And Shannon herself appears on an episode of 90210 that I think we posit on the episode is the worst one we've covered yet.
It's the worst. I don't know. I mean, we'll see what this series has in store for us as we go on. But like,
it's a really bad one.
I have a hard time believing it gets much worse than this. This is pretty awful.
It can.
Yeah. The quick summary is an episode of 90210 decides to cover a gang shooting at the bad high school across town. Yikes and a half, even. And then the Melrose Place is just more craziness.
Yes.
Including an awkward surprise birthday party that we talk about at length. But that is going to do it for this week, folks. As always, remember, like and subscribe. Like this video, subscribe to this channel. Do not miss a second of when we go on the air, including tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Eastern time. We're doing another WHM mailbag live right on this very channel. So do not miss that. Like this video, subscribe to the channel, set them notifications. Don't miss a minute of it. But that's it. Have a good week. Until next time, I've been Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadek.
Chris Gabin.
Take it easy, folks. Have a good week. And where's the outro video? There it is. Bye-bye.